In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise be Jesus Christ. As we bring our novena, our preparatory novena, to a close, as we prepare to celebrate the great feast of the patron of the Universal Church, St. Joseph, true spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as Father Philas so affectionately calls him as well, the virginal father of our Lord Jesus Christ, indeed as a true necessary father, this evening's reflections will serve in some ways as a capstone on the various ways we have considered St. Joseph as a model of hope in this Jubilee year, this holy year in our Lord, as we focus on the virtue of hope. Already in the devotion to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, of course, it is somehow a scandal to many of us to imagine that our Blessed Mother and an explicit devotion to her be so seldom mentioned in the earliest texts of our Christian faith. It was indeed a good confrere once made the reflection to me that, in fact, we see that our Blessed Mother, in those early centuries of our Christian faith, remained in the background, as it were, only interceding as necessary, becoming better known amongst men in all of her privileges, in order to defend the divinity and the humanity of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, by the workings of divine providence, that the doctrines concerning our Blessed Mother would become more articulate, would become better explained and more heartfelt by all of the Christian faithful as the need arose, as various aspects of our Lord's divinity, of his true humanity, of the hypostatic union that exists between these two natures, was questioned and challenged, attacked by various heresies. This same confrere reflected to me that it is indeed a similar phenomenon that occurs with our devotion to St. Joseph. It's flourishing, although, as we saw in the wonderful reflections of Father Logan, has antecedents and indeed devotional markers stretching back into the earliest centuries of our Christian faith. Nevertheless, it is without a doubt that the liturgical cult and the great devotions that we offer to St. Joseph now, the consecration of this beautiful month of March, our devotion to him on Wednesdays in particular, these devotions are without doubt of a later date. But it is for a similar reason that indeed, with the advent of the Protestant revolt, with the questioning of the various dogmas of his true spouse, our Blessed Mother, with the collapse of Christian society in the last 3-4 centuries, that indeed we have seen that the development of a devotion to St. Joseph has been heaven's response in many respects to safeguard and protect the Christian faithful throughout these tumultuous years since the 95 Theses of Luther and the launching of that terrible revolt. We see this reflected in a particular way in the monumental documents of the Papal Magisterium that the successor of St. Peter, whose chief charge it is as chief pastor of the Universal Church to discern the desires of the Holy Ghost, the workings of divine providence in the development of Christian devotion to safeguard and foster the true doctrine, that indeed in the Papal Magisterium, as Pope Francis would note in his encyclical Patris Cordae 2020, that is to say marking the 150th anniversary of the declaration by Blessed Pope Pius IX in his bull Quem ad Modum Deus, the Immaculate Conception of that year, declaring St. Joseph patron of the Universal Church, Pope Francis would note in that document that no saint has been more quoted, no other saint has had more written about him, other than, of course, our Blessed Mother, in all of the texts of the Supreme Pontiffs, stretching the centuries. That indeed, as society became less and less Christian, the voice of the Holy Fathers throughout the centuries became more and more insistent on our devotion to the true spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I've already mentioned, of course, Blessed Pope Pius IX in that bull, Quem ad Modum Deus. You'll note that it came at a very dangerous time for the Holy See. 1870 would see the fall of the Papal States. That less than a century since the French Revolution, many godless powers in Europe were pressing the Holy Father on all sides. And indeed, he himself would become a prisoner of the Vatican and his own physical security would be threatened in those following years. And so it's not without reason that he would turn to Saint Joseph and encourage the entire universal church to turn to Saint Joseph at such a perilous time for not only the physical security of the Holy Father, but the spiritual security of so many Christian faithful throughout the world. Leo XIII, his successor, in the year 1889, in his apostolic letter, Quamquam Pluries, encouraging devotion to Saint Joseph, would make his own magisterium the beautiful expressions of the Christian faithful across the centuries. It was here that the papal magisterium would reaffirm in a forceful and authoritative way that a true marriage indeed existed between Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And not only that, but that Leo XIII would affirm that Saint Joseph, no less than the Blessed Virgin, indeed belongs to what we call the order of the hypostatic union. That is to say, just as it was necessary that Jesus Christ be born of a woman, that he in his loving providence chose that woman, likewise it was necessary that he be nurtured by a father, and in his same loving providence chose that father. And therefore Leo XIII would not blush to say, and indeed would lend the authority of his magisterium to the doctrine that no saint surpasses Saint Joseph other than his most holy spouse, the Immaculate Blessed Virgin Mary. Benedict XV, the successor of St. Pius X, in his Motu Proprio Bonum Sane of the year 1920, would once again encourage devotion to St. Joseph on the 50th anniversary of the declaration of his patronage of the Universal Church by Blessed Pope Pius IX. 1920 was a year that saw a great upheaval in Europe following not only the First World War, which had led in many ways to the death of his predecessor, St. Pius X, its outbreak having broken his priestly and fatherly heart, but only less than 4 years removed from the terrible outbreak of the Russian Revolution and its explicit war against God and the Church in the lands formerly of the Tsarist Russian Empire. And so Benedict XV not only encourages our devotion to St. Joseph as a protector of our Christian faith, but especially as a true antidote to the social ills that had so plagued society and indeed provoked the horrible upheavals in Russia, in Germany, and beyond. That indeed we see in St. Joseph, and we celebrate him to this day as a model of workers, remembering that it is not in revolt, it is not in the rising of pride, but in the true care and concern, solicitude for families, for true Christian work, for the true reform of society, as Leo XIII had articulated so well in his many encyclicals and writings on true Christian social doctrine, that indeed it is in modeling our lives after St. Joseph and not after Lenin that we indeed may hope for the true revival of all of society and the true vindication of the honor and duty of work. Pope St. John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation, Redemptoris Custos, Guardian of the Redeemer, in the year 1989, fully 100 years after the letter of Leo XIII, Quamquam Pluries, exalting so many of St. Joseph's privileges, would make official the title Guardian of the Redeemer. John Paul II, looking forward to the end of the second Christian millennium, is already encouraging us at that time to see in St. Joseph a model of our Christian faith, a model of unshakable trust in God, and indeed, that it was his special mission in the mystery of our Lord's providence that he should be defended by a man, he the God and creator of all, that both he and his blessed mother, the greatest human beings to have ever lived, would be protected by this chosen guardian, Saint Joseph. And finally, as I said, Pope Francis issued in 2020 on the 150th anniversary of the declaration of Blessed Pope Pius IX, the universal patronage of our dear patron Saint Joseph over the entire church, that in his own encyclical Patris Corde would reaffirm these various points of Saint Joseph's privileges and also note that he is indeed the saint after the Blessed Virgin Mary about whom the popes have most spoken. And so we may sum up the papal doctrine as such that indeed the antidote to social upheaval, the true defense of the church, marriage, the family, fatherhood, that just as our Blessed Mother in devotion to her rose in the history of the Christian Church to defend the honor, dignity, the divinity of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that even as marriage and the family, as fatherhood and true masculinity have been so threatened in a dire way in our own age, indeed, Holy Mother Church, the supreme pastors across the centuries have pointed us towards Saint Joseph as our defender, not only of Holy Church, but our model and guide, that indeed marriage is a true conduit, the first cell of all of society. Is not the individual rising in pride, as the socialists would have it, but the family in humble submission to the laws of God, just as Saint Joseph ruled over that first holy family. And even as John Paul II pointed to Saint Joseph as a source of faith, let us turn to him then in this holy year as a model as well for hope. That man who hoped indeed against hope, who rather than, as we've seen at another point in this novena, who rather than impugn the purity of his sweet and immaculate bride, preferred rather to stay silent in the midst of his doubt, hoping in the promises of our Lord and Redeemer, that indeed we too, against all odds, against the great trials that Holy Mother Church must face, against the trials we must face in our own lives, have to remember that our Lord is indeed faithful. If we seek the kingdom of God first, all these graces will be added unto us. It is therefore in that spirit that we turn to our great Saint Joseph, invoke his holy patronage on this evening at these first vespers of his holy feast. Let us invoke him for the protection, purification of Holy Mother Church, and in our own lives for our strengthening faith and hope and charity in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.